Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast, focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. And every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team. And I've got one of the wonderful members of the team. I've got Sarah. Sarah, welcome. Saz, as we like to call you.
Sazminator, you sometimes call me. I'm absolutely delighted with this one. I even made sure I got the early train home from London so that our recording quality was epic, because the chance of getting this person again did not seem likely, because they are going skyrocketing.
This is exciting. I'm loving your on air, by the way, Sarah. So for those of you that are not watching on YouTube, Sarah's on air. There we go. But we are joined by innovators, pioneers and collaborators every week. But it feels like a bit on steroids today, because we've got a very exciting thing. Now, this is rare, people. I'm excited about a car. Well, I mean, there's a person behind the car, but I'm excited about it. This is Rebecca Denyer from Sebring. Wowzers. Sebring Works, to give it its full name. But it's a super cool car. And Rebecca is one of the people behind it. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. It's good to be on. Thank you. It's not just me and it's not just a car.
Oh, it's not just a car. I mean, talk about teasers. My goodness. Look, I think I first came across this car on the Greenfleet EV Rally with Sarah. Sarah was, you got to see this, and I came over, and Rebecca, you kindly sort of, I think it was getting loaded, sadly, the car at the time, or I might have seen it, but anyway, it's a very, very cool little car. Tell everybody what is Sebring Works and what part do you play in its existence?
Okay, so we hand build brand new electric retro inspired sports cars from the 50s and the 60s. So if you imagine a classic looking car, but without the classic car issues. So our cars are brand new and they're electric, so they are reliable and work. And then we build these on our own designed EV skateboard rolling chassis, which we call a Sebring Performance Platform. And then we sell that into other low volume vehicle manufacturers who'd like to get an EV model to market, and also to the film production industry, so for some live action vehicles and large scale props. So we're in a few films.
I first saw you on Instagram. Let's go there. I just was completely stunned by this. It's chic, it's shiny, it's black, it's got stitching detail, it's got traditional dials, but it's completely EV. And there was this stunning video of you just going through the Cotswold lanes with leaves blowing everywhere. And then I started seeing some people popping up in it, like Angela Millsman had it for a bit and she looked fabulous. I think you should put her first on the list. And then, as Paul said, we were lucky enough, John Curtis and I, to sit in the car as one of the part, we actually used it for the intro of that checkpoint, which was the 3TI hub at Silverstone. And that was the first time we met face to face. And what did I say to you? That you far exceeded any expectations. We only communicated over text prior to us meeting face to face. And I said, you have to come on the show. I just want to hear about you and your work ethic. And I know that you work incredibly hard.
Yeah, you can see from the bags under my eyes, they're a permanent fixture. The days are long, the nights are also short. So yes, it's been a long, long journey, and we're now in production and we're scaling and it's all moving forward. And people now know about us, which is really exciting. So we actually have three models of our own. So you've seen the Speedster, which is familiar with a European sports car of the 60s. We have a coupe version, so a hard top. And then we also have a British looking sports car, which has a soft top as well. So those are our three models. And then equally on the other side, the platform gets used. And you might see me driving the platform on its own without a car body on top. That's quite fun. You have to wear a helmet. So yes, you'll see me prancing around the Cotswolds, having some fun, hair everywhere. And the summer was spent with really wild hair. I've got curly hair. It's pretty wild. So it's been a real journey and a half. We've got a really small team. We've done it on a real shoestring, I have to say. But it's been a challenge, a really massive, massive project. Something that we didn't expect to build and to grow. It came out of an idea that kind of grew arms and legs very quickly.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europe Car, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europe Car's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
But here's, for me, here's the question, right? This should be classed as absolute madness, because many have tried, right? There's a lot of people out there that are laying in now empty factories. And, you know, we think of some of the big people like Arrival, who weren't too far away from the Cotswolds. We can think of others along the way that have tried and never really made it. And I can think of competitors of yours in the sector that haven't quite got like this level of progress. First of all, what on earth gave you this madness of an idea? And second of all, what do you think has been key to the success of it?
I think because we weren't engineers, I think that has been the reason we've got this far. So it's an idea that came from my husband and I. So we started our electric car journey a few years ago. So just before COVID, we'd ordered a brand new electric car, waiting for that to arrive. There were some great tax advantages putting it through your company. And then that started the whole journey for us. You do become quite excited about energy and EVs suddenly when you've got one on order. And we always had classic cars. My classic car sat in the garage 365 days of the year. She never got used. There was a massive oil spill underneath her. Beautiful car, immaculate, but we couldn't trust it for me to go out in the car. It would be a nice sunny day in the Cotswolds, and suddenly you'd think, can't risk it, because if I break down and there's no one to pick me up and sort me out. So it was a we went down this journey. We were researching our modern car, we had it on order, and then at that time we actually started watching a TV show from Moggy from Electric Classic Cars, and he had a show called Vintage Voltage. And I'm not joking, we watched back to back episodes. I was one night, and I think the kids thought we were absolutely weird. We were doing this whole all night of watching video back to back. And we really got into this and thought, there has to be something here. We can convert our classic cars. Fantastic. Long story short, we thought it was really expensive to convert them. Took ages. There was a massive waiting list, and we were really impatient. So we thought, well, we'll just do it ourselves. We're not engineers. Let's just do it ourselves. So we got an engineer friend in, and he seemed to know what he was doing, or try and learn what he was doing. And before we knew it, we'd converted our first car. We then had a customer list, and we were converting cars. And that almost solved the problem. But we then recognized we had more problems. So whilst it solved the reliability issue, you still had a 60-year-old car that had holes in it. It was a full restoration project. A customer would say, oh, my car is immaculate. And then we'd pop it on the ramp, and I'd be like shoving my finger in it saying, it's full of holes. We've got to strip it back. We've got to spend a lot of money on it first. And it became a real challenge. And then you'd have a car that was silent, reliable, brilliant, but suddenly you could hear all the rattles and bangs, and you had to try and fix them somehow. And it was really tough. And it just didn't, it just created more issues. And you're compromising on a conversion because you're fitting battery packs in awkward spaces. It's old tech, 1960s tech. It's a challenge. So we thought if we could just produce a car that looked classic, gave you that feeling, all that emotion, because driving a classic is something else. If you've driven one, the looks you get, people chat to you, all that emotion is amazing. You remember family members who owned a car like that. So it brings back a lot of nostalgia. If we could just produce a brand new one, but had the look and the feel of that, then we've solved it. And that's where this kind of ended up. So we decided, let's stop the conversions. Let's build our own skateboard platform, just like the modern OEM. So we weren't doing anything radical in that sense. We were effectively copying what the OEMs did, but we kept it simple. So the secret, I think, into our success is that we try to keep everything simple. So stop over-engineering everything. Let's use all the technology that's out there. So standard OEM parts that are off the shelf, you know, if that's a suspension from a certain larger OEM that spent billions or millions, you know, let's use that. But we developed our own platform. And as we were doing that, I said, we can put any body type on here. And this isn't just limited to one model. And from that, so we recognized very quickly what we could do. So whilst we have got lots of molds, we've bought things in the marketplace so we could produce other types of vehicles. We're keeping it to our three at the moment for ourselves, because we have to get more on the road and we have to get our name out there and just make sure that we're producing quality product. And then that's where it's come from. So then we solve the problem. So now we get in the car. It gives us all that nostalgia. You can't go on a journey without someone stopping you and shouting and talking or jumping in. I've literally had a gentleman at the traffic lights get in the car and said, can I have a lift? I'm like, we're filming something at the moment. Just smile. And this random guy was in the car with me. And we had a lovely chat, actually, to be fair. And lovely gentleman. He said, I love classic cars. And I thought, well, this isn't a classic car. It's a brand new one. And then, you know, you go through the whole story. But it's making people smile and then realizing I can own a classic looking car now, because these people wouldn't have touched one before because they know how unreliable they are. They know that it's really difficult to source parts for these old cars. And the parts that you do source, even the brand new ones, are made on the other side of the world and the quality's not so good and blah, blah, blah. So that's what we've achieved. And I think because we came at it from a different angle, we've both got quite eclectic business backgrounds. We originally trained as accountants, both of us, not together. We weren't together at the time. I learned very quickly I didn't want to be an accountant, but went through various career changes, consulting and then technology, and then got into marketing. Gary was, you know, sales and marketing and technology too. So between us, we've got a vast skill set, but we're not engineers. So what we've managed to do is said, well, why do you need to do it like that? You know, why can't you 3D print it? Or why, you know, why do we have to spend £10,000 on tooling? Couldn't we do it differently? So we've always challenged everything. And I think we've drawn the line. So we said, no, that's it. That's production now. That's signed off. We don't change it. We don't keep re-engineering it. Yes, we always want to improve things, but it has to be controlled. And we need to get things in, you know, produced. So we have to get to scale. We have to keep it simple, scalable, ensure that we were more of an assembly business so that we push everything out to the suppliers so that lower skilled staff can be taken on for us to grow. And that's what we've done. So,
fantastic journey.
Accountants are incredibly versatile brains, though. It's literally your job to take emotion out of everything, look at the data, be analytical, have thoughts that nobody else would. And yeah, and accountants are often found in very high up positions for exactly this reason, way beyond the accountancy firm. And I'm glad you touched on the other stuff, because you wear many, many hats in the company. And I know from our conversations that you, on the one hand, are doing the marketing, and on the next hand, you're having to think about your investment profile. And then you put a video of yourself sweeping the floor because somebody's got to. So I want to hear some stats, not least about the vehicle, but you said you're a small team as well. So let's start with, what's the range of the car? I'm convinced our listeners will be thinking that. How big is the battery pack? What's the range? And then the follow-up question is, how many staff are you?
Yeah, okay. So we're actually 8 altogether. That includes our separate business, which is creating the bodies. So we are that small. Literally, there's 3 of us, kind of sales, marketing, admin, everything, office-y, delivery, all that sort of stuff. And then 2 technicians, and then 2.5 technicians, so made up of 3, who do the body work. So we're really quite small, but, you know, we're now sort of moving forward, so hopefully our time should change a little bit. In terms of the product, so it's funny because people don't ask so much now. There's been a real shift in the last 12 months as more people understand EVs. less people are asking us about, you know, are we going to run out of range, or, you know, is the infrastructure there? I think people who come to us already have an electric vehicle. So most of them have home charging, which of course makes it so much easier. But that question doesn't get raised as much. Mathematically, the range should be 350, but we spout a real world range of 240 plus, 250 plus. We're getting easily that with our demonstrator, which we thrash around. I mean, the lads they're not kind with it. It's, you know, I'm quite a granny in it, but, you know, we do thrash it around. So we know that that's realistic. We know that that's more than manageable. The car isn't an everyday car at the moment for most. Our customer base so far, they've been second, third or fourth cars. There's one customer who's ordered one for his everyday commute to London, which I'm really excited about because that's how I'd like our cars to be used. There's plenty of range in there. I mean, you know, and there's room as well because this is a skateboard platform, so the battery pack's on the floor. You've still got a frunk and a boot. So you've got some space despite it being a two-seater passenger vehicle. You know, there is a shelf in the Speedster and the coupe, which means that you can put a dog in the back. You can't put children in the back because it's only a two-seater passenger vehicle.
Well, you got a John Curtis in it, so that's, you know, an impressive accolade.
We've had lots of that. We did some filming recently and I was thinking, not quite sure we should be shoveling this many people and cameras, and we're all out hanging outside whilst I was driving around corners in the Cotswolds. But yes, we'll that's now on record, isn't it? Oops.
Private roads. It was fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, it's enough. It's more than enough. And in terms of the spec, we actually tone the vehicle down. Our cars are really light. It's funny, the challenge for people to, we need a lightweight sports car. Our car is already incredibly light, and that is actually a problem for us. So we've had to actually tone everything down. So what we do, every vehicle is the same underneath, but it's the model is tuned appropriate to the model. So it won't drive the same. If a Speedster would be different to the Roadster, which is now called the 3008, it's slightly, you know, it's a different experience. We've got a high performance vehicle that we're developing that will be, it's the same platform, but it's going to be, you know, let it riff a little bit more. So if you want a track day on it, you can. But we've kept it so that it was safely scalable, so everything was the same. And that's the only way we could scale it. Otherwise, you end up with bespoke cars each time. It has to be the same. And then we've got a little black box in it as well. So we've got our own software. It's not particularly vast at this moment in time. It's not been opened up hugely, but at least we can monitor activity of the car. We can fix things over the air. So there, whilst it's analog inside the dashboard, it still looks quite analog. You know, obviously there's some technology behind it. I won't go too technical. I try and talk at a level that people understand, and I'm really conscious of doing that. It's so easy for us to fall into tech speak, and people switch off. This shouldn't be complicated.
Spoken like an engineer there. I think maybe you're more of an engineer than you think you might be. It's very true.
It's really hard because you can slip into all this terminology. But at the end of the day, if you get a car from us, we want you to enjoy it, use it. I would love it to be your everyday car. I really hope we get to that point. It's not for everybody. It's not cheap. I'm sorry, it's not. It's hand-built. Here in the UK, nothing is cheap to do, but it's finished beautifully. It's finished to your colourways. And, you know, you can upgrade to certain options. And there are some options that are quite luxurious if you want them to be. But we've tried to keep that minimal too. So the spec is good. We just want people to enjoy owning what is similar to a classic. But it's beautiful. We didn't want a boring car. We wanted something that was fun and just had an emotion around it. So cars are often soulless, I'm afraid. And that's not just EVs. I think modern cars are not that exciting. We've gone into this box-like SUV state. And I understand that's how you scale to thousands. But we're not planning to scale to thousands. But we do want to appeal to people that want to have some fun in their life. And, you know, life is short. Anybody who's lived to my age in life has experienced a lot. You know, your health could go at any point, whatever. You know, life is tough. So if we can just give a little bit of happiness, that's kind of what we'd like to do. But we want to do it in a sustainable way. And I'll come on to that if I get a chance. But we're not greenwashing here. You know, manufacturing something new is not great for the environment, full stop. So how can we do that in a way that is as good as it can be? There's loads of improvements. I'm working on several projects at the moment. You know, it's a challenge. We are restricted by regulations. So to register a brand new car, you can only use one refurbished main part. Well, that's a real shame, because why can't we use loads of refurbished parts? And I've been challenging this, and I have actually made headway. I'm really chuffed with what I've done. 9 months of working with the DVLA, and we have got an outcome, which is fantastic. And that's for another day. But, you know, we should be able to be more sustainable. And it frustrates me when we get parts delivered in single-use plastic. You know, why? Why do we need to do that? You know, we're now looking at B Corp and how we can do that. So there's lots of initiatives I've got. The car body itself is made out of something currently that is not environmentally friendly. I'm not proud of that. But we are working on a project to completely change that, to try and grow the car body out of the ground, so effectively. So working with plant fibres, and we have a farmer who's 9 miles from the factory. And I want to use the plant fibres that he is not only growing on his farm, but actually has now produced the manufacturing plant to turn that into fibre matting, which we can then use for our car bodies. So that's going to take time to get there, but we're a work in progress. And I'm really excited about, you know, the impact that we make. Can we make it better? Our carbon footprint from our suppliers, how small can we make that? You know, 9 miles to the field where this is grown. I mean, that's just the answer, really. And I'm really excited, because the plant fibers that we're looking at using, the plant itself is so good for the soil. I'm a farmer's daughter. So this whole thing of, you know, my father's no longer here, but I would love to say to him that I've grown a car, Dad, you know, that's kind of a real dream for me. So, and I really hope I can make that happen. I'm now welling up.
Oh, I could tell. Bless you. That's such a story. That must be a real mission for you. And that, I assume it's a nitrogen fixing plant, something that's really good for the soil.
It is indeed. And that's so good for the environment. And that means that we're impacting our local community. So the farmer is growing something really, really good. The local environment's improved, as well as the global environment. And we need to get back to these old ways of doing things, you know, using old plant fibre, for instance. And, you know, there's another story here to be had for sure. But that has opened up the doors for me to come across other suppliers of other products using that fibre. And you think, wow, why? Where did we go wrong? You know, we really did make some mistakes as society. But it's up to us as individuals to change that and make the difference. We can't wait for governments. To enforce things. It's not going to happen. It has to actually come from the public, the Joe public, making the decision that my impact has an impact. And we owe it to our kids. I regularly apologise to my children to say, I'm really sorry that my generation and the one before have really screwed up the planet. And I'm trying to do my bit, but I know you've got to pick up a lot. And I feel like I'm giving them a load of responsibility, but they're really aware of what we have damage that we have done, but it's not out of our scope to make a difference. And even our luxury cars, which they are toys for a lot of people, why shouldn't they be produced in a way that is less impactful? And they're going to go on for quite some time, these cars. So I would hope that because they're EVs and they have less issues than ICE engines, that's a positive thing. So I'm trying to make a difference. I really am. It's not just words here. It's genuine.
This is clear. I mean, so I think you've really painted a picture of success, right? And how success comes, that single-minded nature. So as I reflect back on some of the failings of companies that have gone before, one of the things is not getting something to market, number one. Number two was kind of getting halfway to getting something to market and then going, oh, let's just solve this problem over here, and losing that single-minded focus. But I also love, this pioneering spirit. So first of all, you're an innovator. Second of all, you are a pioneer, thinking about this kind of whole growing a car. I love that. And it was super heartfelt as it came across, you know, and sort of looking skywards. I've built a car, Dad. Wouldn't that be fabulous? And just thinking that the sort of the impact that you have on the environment is coming down and down and down. And yet I'm also sensing that there is a real willingness to collaborate across industry. You're looking to change the rules around refurbishment. But I also know that the platform that you've created can be used in other businesses, and that you even speak to other companies about, you know, progress and stuff. Talk to us about that collaborator piece and the platform that you've provided to the world, but also how you interact with the market in the whole.
Yeah, so we can't do anything without some help, okay? It's just nuts. Why do something in isolation? And I do talk to our competitors, and I'm trying to, and we're working towards something more formal at the moment, and I really support them. And I'm sure people must think that's a little unusual, but I don't mind whether they buy from us or them. I just want them to do well, as obviously I want us to do well. But, you know, we have to work together. And we're all basically setting up cost centres, doing the same sort of thing. So why not collaborate and share resource? We're working with a local, it's not necessarily a competitor, but they are same sector as us, automotive. And it's really lovely, that relationship moving forward. I don't know if they were a bit surprised when I first reached out to them, but it's now becoming kind of, you know, drop me an email, ask me some questions, and I can save them so much time because I've spent hours doing one part of DVLA, for instance, and I can just say, no, you need to do this. And, you know, why not help them out and save some time? And we're looking to share resources, whether that's people as well as our trucks, for instance, and sharing, you know, do you want to use our truck for an event? Whatever it is, we're just trying to help each other. And within that, our platform, because we do make that available to other low volume vehicle manufacturers, it makes sense that, you know, we've got an assembly line we're building, we've got all that core skill set coming in. We can then do that for another vehicle manufacturer. So they don't actually need their own premises as such. They don't need to invest in the controls, the quality, the people, the facilities. Why don't we just say, here we go, we've done the hard bit, now come in with us and we can help you build your vehicles. So there's a collaboration at lots of levels. I recently went to a product launch of a competitor, and I'm really proud to be part of that journey with them and supporting them hugely. It's a very different product to us. But they've got the same ethos. You know, they want to be successful, but they also recognise that collaboration is key too. And I think people chipping away at them all. And I was kind of tackling the kind of retro looking vehicles and brands. There's quite a few of us doing this now. But our platform's slightly different to what else is out there. And I think it's just really important. It's the only way. British manufacturing is challenging. Running a business in Britain is challenging, but more so now. I think the challenges that we've got regulation-wise, taxation-wise, waiting for the next budget to drop, we're all panicking. Our costs are just soaring and soaring. You've got no control over energy costs. There's so many things. And we, you know, we are part of a group of companies now that have got solutions to all these problems and can help other businesses like ours. So, you know, we're here to help, and it's meant from the right angle. You know, we genuinely want businesses to succeed because it helps everybody. That's the reality. You know, I don't want to see more businesses fail. You're exactly right. I've seen so many businesses similar to us that have invested millions and millions. I mean, we haven't. I can assure you, we've been bootstrapped from day one, literally. And that's been a good thing, because I think we've had to innovate. We've had to make things work. We've had to keep it simple. We haven't had the luxury of a whopping great budget or support of lots of people. So hence why we are such a small team. But I don't want to see more businesses fail. We want them to succeed. We want them to be paying good taxes because it gives back ultimately, doesn't it? So it's just getting that right. But collaboration is really key. And I'm excited about some initiatives that we're trying to put in and to get more formalized. So we have an accreditation that we all buy into. And so there'll be more of that over the coming weeks, actually, that we're launching to try and get more manufacturers together and to talk together. Because the current things that are out there are not actually aimed at the smaller companies, the smaller low volume manufacturers. A lot of them are aimed at the mainstream, larger producers. And they're the ones that get access to funding, grants. It's really hard for us to tap into that, which means that we have to be really thrifty and we have to work together to make our resources work for us.
Yeah, it very much sounds like a go fast, go alone, go together, go further thing. And I was thinking as you spoke, there's so many similarities between engineering, manufacturing, product design, and the sporting world. You know, we have an amazing opportunity to learn from things like sport, whereby even in my side of the fence, the fintech sector, there's a motto where you launch fast and you iterate. But those, as Paul was describing, those who take too long and get too hung up on the final situation will miss the boat because they are not those large companies like we're talking about that. So the other synergy I've spotted whilst you've been talking is that EV Cafe also pivoted to be a collaborator and make sure that we lift other event partners up and we collaborate on other platforms. And indeed, the SME market has been our focus for the last 12 months. What can we do to help the SME fleets to go EV? Now, the last thing that I've reflected on as you spoke was I can see a huge potential for your product over in Dubai or the Emirates. Have you got a lot of interest from there where it will be tucked up at night and perfectly respected, but otherwise a fantastic piece of UK business over there? Tell us about the international potential.
Yes, so we have got a structure and we are approaching that area. So we've got various territories we're looking at. UAE is the next territory. Although we are already registered as a low volume vehicle manufacturer in the States, since the tariff introduction and all the challenges that has given us, you know, we are overcoming all that at the moment, but there's a lot to work through. I mean, our cars would fit the US so easily, and that's fine. But yes, UAE is the next territory, as well as a few others. But it's quite interesting. So if we sell into Dubai, they'll be using those cars in their winter. We also have some challenges ahead with that because using a plant fibre car body will behave differently in heat and humidity. So all of that is getting tested. We're trying to work with Warwick University to get that rubber stamped. But it just takes time. But yeah, definitely about markets is, you know, we have an awful lot of conversations going on at the moment. So watch this space.
It's really exciting to see this cottage industry, you're in a cottage right now as we speak, but a cottage industry like really coming to life and becoming international and, you know, reaching into America and when America can sort their head out, and then maybe the UAE also. I mean, that's super exciting. I have a couple of practical questions though. So I'm not really a car bod, as most people know, but I do get quite excited about sort of the things like performance. Now, you've mentioned sort of tuning them differently and the sort of, because I mean, EVs are famous for this 0-60 madness. And I think on a typical 50 grand saloon, it's lunacy to put like 0-60 in 4 seconds or whatever it is. I mean, it's just stupid. But in a little sports car like this, come on, dazzle us with how it performs.
Okay, well, I'm not going to dazzle you as much as you might think. So, because we are responsible for the people that drive these cars, you know, one thing that is always in my head, and the first time it hit me, I actually suddenly realised we are actually producing things that could kill people if we're not careful. And when you put it like that, you suddenly realise I've got a huge responsibility, and we're not going to tune them so that, yes, they could do 0-60 in sub 3 seconds quite easily. One of the high performance vehicles we have in development, yes, it will do that. But the Speedster was never designed originally as a super fast car. So we have toned it down. So it's sub 6 seconds, not 60, which is more than enough. It gets you out of trouble because we do need to get ourselves out of trouble on the roads because unfortunately there are some drivers that are not that careful. There's a lot more cars on the road. It's a completely different era to 20, 30, 40 years ago. But we have been sensible with that. So we've, for that model, it's kind of 5.9 seconds, basically, not 60. We have also toned down the speed limit. So it's toned down. You can only do 100 miles an hour max, you know, and that's to stop people being silly because being the type of person that I am and that Gary is, you know, we genuinely don't want people to come to harm. So there's a huge responsibility around that. So we're not trying to create silly racetrack cars. These are cars to go on the road, be safe, be appreciated, be enjoyed. You know, you do just enjoy the drive. You know, it's not meant to be a racing machine. However, I have been known at the traffic lights to sort of look at boy racers next to me and they think I'm a granny, you know, this 50-year-old woman in this old car. Oh my goodness, this is going to be really fun as they rev it up. And then, I accidentally overtake them and off I go and they're kind of left behind you, you know.
I love that.
I do kind of do a few things, perhaps I shouldn't, but, you know, we aren't trying to be silly here. And there is some bragging rights to cars like this, but I'm hoping that more people do it from the point of it's beautiful. You know, we can do carbon fiber inserts and dashes and have all that piece, but it's about enjoying something that's beautiful. Because classic cars are, is the best stress relief. And that's the thing, if the weather's nice and I've had a tough day, and I have to say most days are quite tough, to be honest, but it's the best thing ever. Just go out in the car and suddenly, wow, isn't it brilliant? Everything in the world looks a better place. So if anything, that's one thing we'll do for this, reduce people's stress levels by driving and owning one of our cars. So.
Well, it sounds like it's one great big stress ball, isn't it? You know, just kind of like, yay, let's go out and drive. But I'm loving that. Now, I think a really serious point needs to be made here, because this, for me, has been something that the motor industry in cars, and I've worked for BMW, I've worked for Vauxhall, back in the days when, you know, the Carlton GSI and the Lotus Carlton and the Vauxhall Senator, the BMW M3, all will do, and in track conditions, I've done quite high speeds. but, you know, just done things that you really wouldn't recommend, right? Because you could. And here is wisdom personified, in my humble opinion, because we shouldn't be putting vehicles in the hands of people because, you know, people, as you point out, do die in vehicles. And 0-60, 5.9 seconds, not too very long ago, was extremely impressive. And it's only really since the launch of, you know, electric vehicles that actually that has become to sort of sub 3 seconds is the only time anybody gets impressed. But flying along at 0-60 in under 6 seconds is pretty exhilarating. And in a car that size, that close to the floor, that is feeling every mile an hour of it. And it is going to be bliss and fun and smile city, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And the roof off, I mean, you're in the elements. I mean, obviously we've got a screen, but...
Hair everywhere!
I know, I have a hat for most of the time. I've given up with the scarf, the granny scarf. But it, you know, you are low, so you do feel, you know, there's a low centre of gravity anyway because it's a skateboard platform and it's great. I mean, it handles well. You feel everything. So whilst people think EVs don't have souls and I want to be able to drive it, I don't want to be driven, you know, you are getting an experience that's quite unlike something else, actually, and it's really special. And one thing that's come out, I remember someone saying to me, it's a real grower, isn't it? I thought it was good the first time I went out in that car, but the second time it got better. And then by the 10th time, I just love it more and more. And I'm looking back and that smile just continues to grow and get bigger and bigger. And you think, yeah, it really does, doesn't it? There's something unique about it. And we call it the Sebring smile now, because I get lovely messages from people saying, I've still got the Sebring smile, because they came to test drive 4 weeks previously. You know, it's still lovely that they still smile from the experience.
Where does Sebring Works name come from?
Yeah, so obviously originally the Sebring International Raceway in the States, that's where it originally came from. And Sebring, so we started out as Vital Spark classic car conversions. That's how we started. But we acquired the assets of Sebring International, which was a kit car company that produced the Austin Healey 3000 replicas. They'd been going since late 70s and then started in America as classic racers, came over here, became Sebring International a few iterations later. And we thought, you know, that was the car model that we would bring back originally. So acquiring all the assets, we had all the molds, but obviously it was based on ICE, so nothing else could be used. None of the other IP could be used. We had to start from scratch. There'd been lots of models, lots of larger OEMs if you had a Sebring model, for instance. So it's well known as a race term, even though our vehicles are toned down and not for racing. But we wanted something that had some kind of heritage. And obviously there's many years of heritage within the brand, even though we're quite new, if that makes sense.
I told you she was special, Paul. She's quite the nugget.
I kind of feel like we might need to do more, but it is exciting to see brands like Sebring and people like you, Rebecca, coming to the market with a vision, single-minded and super focused. But we're going to do something special for you now, because we have a closing tradition. No podcast is a podcast without a closing tradition. We have a closing tradition here on the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast, which is to present you with the EV Cafe magic wand with its own lightning bolt. There you go. Special for you. And so this is coming all the way through the airwaves to Martin on the Morse, wherever you live. That place is... It's coming over. There you go. And you've now got the there you go. You've got it. Yeah, I saw that. you've got the magic wand. What I guess really in the context of your journey really right now, what would you wish for? What single thing? You only get one, I'm afraid. So, you know, this isn't Aladdin. You don't get three. You just get one. What would you wish for?
Okay, I'll try and combine lots in as one.
Cheat!
There are so many things out of our control and have caused delays. And that whole juggle around managing expectations of staff, customers, when things have been out of our hands. And if I could just put a magic wand over some of that, so regulatory things and, you know, anything in the supply chain that's just beyond our control, you know, you couldn't write a story better. I have to say, there will be a book. There will be a podcast of this journey. You know, someone said to me the other day, it'll only be interesting when you've been successful and then you can show you the hard times. The hard times that we've had and continue to experience, they're mostly things that we can't control. And that's when I want a magic wand to say, just go away. Just make it, you know, just do what we ask you to do. Or when we order something, please arrive when it's supposed to be asked.
I agree. No, I agree with you completely. These are the things.
You can only do so much, can't you? You think you've got everything controlled. I've asked so-and-so to do that. You know, we've ordered this, we've done that. But if it doesn't come together because people haven't delivered what they said they would do, or because, oh, we need to find out, or you're chasing someone constantly, and public sector departments and things that I spend a lot of time chasing and getting frustrated with, because their time zones are something else. And anyway, they've got interesting processes. So that's what I want to put a magic wand over: the external sources no control over.
External sources you can have no control over, but there is a hidden thing in here of efficiency gains. I think we've not had a magic wand efficiency gain wish before, so I'm seconding that. That's a great one.
Well, it sounds to me like Rebecca actually has just wished herself to get her own magic wand. Which could actually be the most genius wish ever.
Suits me.
Feel like a magician the whole time. Like you're having to pull a rabbit out of a hat every day, and the people don't see that. They don't understand the decisions that we have to make day minute to minute sometimes. I mean, even this morning, so I might look casually like I'm working from home today and it's a Friday and that's all lovely, but nobody actually knows what decisions I made before 7 o'clock, between seven and us recording this. You know, nobody understands that things have changed so much and drastically that you then, it is ridiculous, but it's happening to everybody. Everybody who runs a business, whether they're small, whether they're large, it's the same issues, just different level of magnitude. But we're all up against it. It's not easy. And I think post-COVID, now with the current costs of everything, it's the most challenging time, surprisingly. And yet we're in a technological world where things should be easy, you know, just in time, all these sorts of things. But we are really up against it because of things beyond our control.
I love the message you carry, Rebecca. I think you're a real pioneer, as we said at the top of the show. But it's so much more than that that I wanted you on the show for. I think you have a really positive impact on leadership. I really like that sort of mental health message that you carry in a lot of your posts and your communications around headspace and enjoying life and changing pace and understanding that life is short, and yet you would love to move your business to a point where you can honour your father and your farming heritage, which is incredibly commendable. A lesser person would be looking for the cheapest, easiest, profit margin favorable materials, but because your mission is so much higher than producing a vehicle, it's about leaving a legacy behind that you can be really truly proud of, and your kids be really truly proud of you for. I sit here in complete awe of you, and I hope that you'll join the EV Cafe on our sort of collaborative mission to the end-to-end ecosystem of helping people to choose EV, even if it is a toy to them, even if it is their second or third car to them. To you, it's your life that you've devoted. And for me, that just speaks volumes. And I'm so grateful that you'd be so honest and open on our show with us today.
Thank you. That's really kind. I mean, you know, what you see is what you get with us. It's really kind of you to have said that. And we genuinely want people to work together. And, you know, life is very short. We all have challenges. No one really knows truly what someone else is going through and what their plate is like each day. You know, there's a lot. People have a lot. I personally have been through a huge amount of challenges in my life, and it's quite interesting. I'm not going to share them now, obviously, but I feel I have a lot of empathy for people's situations, you know, be it health challenges, be it relationship challenges, all sorts of things that I have experienced, and still lots more to come, I'm sure. But we, you know, that's really kind of you to say that. And I think business shouldn't be cutthroat. It shouldn't be hard. And it is hard. You have to make painful decisions. And, you know, I've had to let people go, and that doesn't make me feel happy. That it's a horrible thing to do, and you know that it's not nice, and you try and do it in a sympathetic way. And you know, there are things you have to do as a business owner which are tough, but ultimately we are trying to do something positive. So I just hope that this is a start of being able to say, you know, I'm here, I'm collaborative, we as a business really want to help others and to share our experiences. You know, don't go through what we did. We've done things the wrong way. We've made lots of mistakes, as any business does. I think the level of risk we've taken is vast. I mean, nuts, actually. We're all in. You know, we've put way everything into this. But let us use that for good, and let's help others. And I'd love to be part of, you know, what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I feel frustrated at times. There are so many things I can't get involved in because I'm so busy. You know, I do have a family who I see occasionally. I do feel that they get pushed aside. And family values are really important, aren't they? But, you know, I really want to be part of something. And I just hope that anybody watching this could feel that they could contact us if they're in a similar situation running a business where, you know, can we help you? Can we work together in some way?
Thank you.
Oof. I'll tell you what, Rebecca, it's not often we get joined by somebody that is an innovator, a pioneer, and a collaborator. So this is three here, but also somebody that is so fully grounded and empathetic and truly inspirational. I look forward to the book because the book is going to be absolutely brilliant. I have no doubt. You know, not because we're at the end now, I can trigger whatever I like to. We know that you will be make your dad very, very proud because what you're doing has been is being amazing and will continue to be all of that and then some, because Sebring Smiles is going to be, I mean, that as a marketing slogan, and I know your background is very marketing heavy, Sebring Smiles works a million miles for some Sebring Smiles, you know, and these vehicles will go on forever and they will be the classics of the future because they're designed with nostalgia in mind, with the classic image in mind. It's just... everybody knows I don't get excited about cars. This is a car.
Well, I was about to say that, Paul. I think this is the first time I've ever seen you animated a C-Super. You've done it again, Rebecca. You've transformed him.
There you go. And there you go. And I've not even driven it yet. So yet. No, note the word yet there, Rebecca, please. Anyway, listen, Rebecca, thank you so much. We're very, very grateful. I feel like we could go on for ages. My next meeting is now 10 minutes late. And that's just life. Because this has been so good. I have emailed them, don't worry. But thank you. And I think a part two. I definitely think there's a part two here because I'd love to dive deeper with many of the things that we've touched on, only touched on, because it sounds like, you know, your life's journey is pretty amazing and it's led to this point.
Here's the challenge then. Let's get someone else on who we can collaborate with. So a competitor of ours. Let's do it.
Okay. Yep. Works for us.
Well, why don't you reach out to your friends at Longbow?
Okay. You're on.
And let's do it. There's another car that I kind of got a little bit excited about, if I'm
He's
honest.
He's turning. The worm is turning.
No, I'm staying with my vans. Sure. But Rebecca, it's been a joy. Listen, everybody, you must connect with this lady on LinkedIn and you can get onto their website, Sebring. I don't know. It's Sebring Works. I'm just look.
Google it.
Sebring-works.com. Sebring-works.com. You will get some wonderful pictures. You will understand their story. You'll also understand that they provide this platform, the platform for the sports club we haven't even talked about, for you to do your own projects with. So it could be incredibly exciting. Are you inspired and fledgling entrepreneur? Maybe go down this route, partner with these guys. It could be really exciting.
Belinda Guy.
But also, listen. Yes, maybe so, huh? But head over to our website, check out all the other podcasts. We've got over 130 of them, quite outstanding. We love that. And many of them have been just truly inspiring as well. So listen, check it all out. We thank you for your time today. And in case you're thinking of moving to an electric vehicle, you could check out our website where we've got a whole platform dedicated to giving you insight as to the best value electric vehicles out there. And, you know, maybe we'll pop a little link to Sebring Works in case you want something really exciting. Anyway, have a great day, everybody, and thanks for being with us.